Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. I'm going to read. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sew, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor nothing taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is has already been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said to my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. That's the word of God.
Well, thanks, Tom, for praying. I think everyone here knows me, so it should be fine. We are going to look at this book called Ecclesiastes. It's a book with a very difficult name. There were peace.
Are living in quite uncertain times. Are you sure? Abiona? So we are living in uncertain times. There are stressful times. There are confusing times. There's so much going on. There's a high cost of living. There's the crumbling social structures. There's the influence on social media, both on us, our families, and people around us. There's talk of AI and all of its consequences. There's wars now, rumors of war. Strange, strange times. And we're just wondering to ourselves, how are we going to live in the midst of all this? How are we going to make sense of these times? Are we ahead of the curve? Are we behind times? Are we on the right side of history? Are we on the wrong side of history? What is going on? What are these times? And when we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, which was written by Solomon, the son of David, he's a man who has been around. He's a king, prosperous king. He is wealthy. He's had a lot of experience. And in the previous chapters, he has done a lot of experiments about what life is. And he came up with vanity. Said, this is like vapor. Okay, he's done a lot of things. But we want to see what he's going to tell us about time. One of these commodities that is precious to us. time. What is Solomon saying about time? And we'll glean a couple of things from him. Three things. Temporary, time is temporary. So temporary time, ordained time, and judgment time. We'll glean something from all those three things. But first, let's look at time. Now, we all agree that time is fleeting. Time is moving. Time is running out, so to speak. Who is that? Linda, who is that? Who's that? You don't know. Any guesses? You? Me? Actually, it's not me. It's not Catherine. Yeah? Now, all I want you to do, okay, I'm going to count to three and then you blink, okay? So the blink is all it takes, right? Right? One, two, three, blink. And you've got this food monster raiding your fridge. A blink is all it takes. And the food monster is raiding your fridge. It gets worse. Oh God, why did this happen to me? So this is all it takes. A little time is all it takes. But if we look at our chapter today, we look at verse 2. The evidence that time is passing by is in verse 2. A time to be born, a time to die. And that's all it takes. A time to be born, a time to die. And it feels like a cycle, isn't it? You start off with a bald head, no teeth, eating soft food, and a diaper. And you end up with a bald head, no teeth, eating soft food, and a diaper. A worker comes in between. And I tell my kids all the time, I change your diaper, you're going to change my diaper. Okay? I'm not going to old people's home. But in between, you get a job. In between, you get a job. And this writer is asking immediately, but what gain is it? What gain has the worker from his toil? That is in verse 9. What's the point? You're born, you die, in between, you get a job. Why? What for? Okay, that's what he's asking in verse 9. Is that all it takes? You're born, you die, in between, you get a job, and then you go through these seasons. You go through these opposites. Planting, plucking. Killing, healing. Breaking, building. Weeping, laughing. Mourning, dancing. Is that all? And then you die. The next generation comes in, and they do the same. And then they die, and the next generation. Is that it? Is that what life is about? If you think about it, it feels like a roller coaster. You get on, you go up, you go down, you go around the bend, you hang on, you go up, you go down, you go around, and when your time is up, you get off. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And Solomon is asking in verse 9, look at verse 9 and verse 10. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Now, other versions say, I have seen the burden that God has given to his children. I have seen the burden that God has given to the children of man. It's almost like this is a burden. Just life, just working, just going through life, going through the ups and downs of life. It's a burden. It's futile. And this is talking about, it is highlighting the futility of our efforts. Our efforts are futile because we are temporary. Time is passing us by. We are temporary. Whatever we do doesn't last. It doesn't matter what we build. Tom talked about some of these great and grand things that people have built. The next generation will come. Nobody will remember who built that thing. No one will remember. It's almost like your toil is in vain. And if you look at verse 12, it says this: I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. That is God's gift to man. We don't have yesterday. We don't have tomorrow. All we've got is today. And today is God's gift. Today is God's gift. It's saying here, all you can do today is to enjoy what God has given you. That's it. That is God's gift to you. Why? Because you are temporary. You are temporary. You're here today, gone tomorrow. God, on the other hand, is eternal. He was there before time started. He is here now, and he'll be there after time has ended. So God helps us make sense of our temporary time. Otherwise, it is all futile, all meaningless. It doesn't make any sense. So if you look at the contrast here is what we do will end. What God does doesn't end. That's the contrast. Okay, if you look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. We are temporary. God is eternal. We cannot make sense of temporary things without an eternal God. So we need this eternal God to help us make sense of what we're going through. Which leads us to our second point. Ordained time. Ordained time. This one comes from verse 11. If you read verse 11 with me. God has made everything beautiful in his time. God has made everything delightful in its time. And when we look at this list, you remember the list? Planting, plucking, killing, healing. You remember that list? If we look at it, it sounds like a to-do list. Initially, we feel like the first time I read it, I wanted to memorize it so I can do it perfectly, you know? But if you look at it, right from verse 1, you literally can't do born and die. You know, we don't choose to be born. Can you add 1 minute to your life? Can you? No. So we literally are not in control of time or seasons or what's going on. We don't. And this one is saying, God is the one who has made everything beautiful in his time. In other words, God is the one who is sovereign. He's the one who is in control. He's the one who is in charge of our times and our seasons. Now, we can either enjoy the times and the seasons, or we can reject. We can complain. We can either praise God for the seasons, or we can complain. And if you're like me, I do more complaining. Yes, I complain more about the seasons than praise. Because I pick out the wrong ones. I don't see all the good that God has done. I pick out what I think God has done wrong. And I remember when you're doing Job, okay? When you're doing Job, Job he had a case with God, isn't it? Yeah? Have a case with God. I've been a good guy. What's this? Yeah. I've done only good. I don't mess around with anyone. What's this? And we complain. Not knowing that God is in charge of every season, every time, He's in charge. We can either praise or complain. It's not an accident. God has you where He wants you. This is where you're supposed to be. In here, at this time, doing this. You are not a victim of some celestial mistake. God doesn't say, oops, I didn't see that coming. He knows exactly what He's doing. And if you read on verse 14, look at verse 14. Because sometimes you can ask God, but why? Why this? Why that? Why me? Why now? Look at verse 14. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor taken away from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. God has done it so that people fear before Him. There's a reason. There is. Now we'll talk more about what this fear is. What is this? If we read Proverbs 28:14, it says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So you see, it's fearing God is being contrasted with a hard heart. With a hard and perceptive heart. Fearing God is corresponding with humility. Fearing God is lowliness. Fearing God is sensitivity in the heart. Fearing God is being in awe of God. So if you can imagine, again, we learned this from Job, how God is majestic. You know, how God is powerful, how God is holy. We learned this. How God is a God of wrath, how God is a God of justice. So it doesn't make sense for us to approach Him in a cavalier spirit, you know, going to the creator of the world, you know, giving Him a high five. High five, God, you know. Or giving Him a thumbs down. Thumbs down. What's this you're doing? Okay, it doesn't make sense. So some of these things God is doing is so that we can be in awe of Him, so that we can be desperate for Him. Desperate for Him. We can acknowledge Him for who He is, the sovereign God, the one who is in charge of everything. And this is an act of grace. Act of grace that we can get to know Him. He puts us through the times and the seasons and the circumstances and the situations so we can be desperate for Him. We can make desperate prayers to Him. We can seek Him. We need God. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So time is temporary, therefore we need an eternal God. Time is ordained, therefore we need a sovereign God. And the third point is judgment time. Judgment time, or a time for judgment. He has made everything beautiful in His time, yes. If you look at verse 11, it goes ahead to say, and He has put eternity in man's heart. Now, even though we are temporary, we naturally sense that there's more to life. That's why we are dissatisfied. We feel like there's more. Is this all? There's more. And this is also why we naturally, when we speak, when someone dies, what do we say? So He's left us. He's gone. Hang on a minute. Where have they gone? Where have they gone to? Where have they gone to? They have left us. They have gone. In other words, we are saying there is eternity. There is eternity. We know there is eternity. We might not know all the details, but we know this is not everything. They have left us. They have gone somewhere else. And God has done it. God has put that in our hearts that we may know the eternal God. we may have that sense of eternity. Now we can see what we have today, but we cannot see what we have tomorrow. But this God can see today and tomorrow. So he makes us aware that there is eternity. So if you look at what Jesus was doing in John chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus was teaching in the temple. And he was teaching religious leaders, you know, those people who consider themselves good, you know, the Pharisees, the scribes. He was teaching in the temple. In verse 21, he says, "Then he said to them again, 'I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come.'" You will look for me, but you will die unforgiven, condemned in your sin. Because where I'm going, you cannot come. Because they thought that being good is all you need to go to heaven. Not knowing that this season is to meet this Savior. This season is for meeting this Savior. He came to earth at the right time. In season he came. And they missed him. And they thought, "I am good, so I am going to heaven." Do you see what's going on here? Because they are rejecting the one who was sent to save them, now they are left with judgment. Rejecting God and his son draws judgment. That's the trouble. That's the trouble. So Jesus says, "I am going because my time has come." And Jesus said it all the time. "My time has come. My time has come." Or, "My time has not yet come. Now my time has come." He was always talking about the time. And now Jesus has gone. Now we are waiting for his time to return. Now we are waiting for his time to return. What season are we living in right now? Look at verse 16. Verse 16 and 17. "Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. In the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, 'God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for everything and every work.'" Good things happen to good people, right? And bad things happen to bad people, right? No. 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 Bad things happen to people who don't even deserve it. That's the trouble. That's the world we're living in. Look at verse 16. Look at what he's saying. You try and go to the courts, the place of justice. There's wickedness. We can't get justice in the court. The rich and powerful, they're getting away with stuff. We can't get justice in the court. Okay, let's try the place of righteousness. Let's try the churches and the synagogues and the mosques and every place of worship. Let's see if we can get justice there. And he's saying here, even there is wickedness. Now that hurts. That hurts because we are the ones who should know God, the God of justice, and we are the ones who should have justice in our churches. Oh, but the heart of man is sinful. That's the trouble. Our hearts are sinful. We have favorites. We have things we prefer. So we cannot be just. We are lopsided. We want justice. We want justice. We want justice. Well, not in this world. Not under the sun. Not now. We need a God of justice. We need a righteous judge one who has no favorites, one who loves all men and sends his son to die for all men. All. We need Jesus. Amen? We need Jesus, the righteous one who dies for us. Hebrews 9 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear for a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So judgment time is coming. It is coming. You cannot deny it. You cannot deny it. You cannot deny it. It's coming. But which side are you on? Are you on the side of accepting the judge's son who has paid the price for you? Or are you on the side of saying, no, I am good. I am good. I don't need a savior. Which side are you on? Are you on the side of trusting this savior with your present and your future? Do you trust this Jesus? Do you see your need for this Jesus? Yes, we are temporary. Therefore, we need an eternal God. Yes, time is ordained. Therefore, we need a sovereign God. Yes, judgment is coming. Therefore, we need a saving God. Brothers and sisters, receive him. Cry out to him. Lean on him. Love him. Serve him. Trust in him. Amen. I'm going to share with you a story about this hymn writer. There's a hymn writer called Annie Johnson Flint. She was orphaned early on in her life. Later on, she suffered with rheumatoid arthritis. She lost control of her internal organs. She became incontinent. Cancer invaded her body. And she also became blind. Her biography is called The Making of the Beautiful. Orphaned, incontinent, arthritic, cancerous, blind. She wrote this hymn. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he added mercy. To multiplied trials, he's multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth. And give it again. Out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives and gives and gives again. Praise the Lord. This is the God we need. God who loves, God who gives, God who saves, God who is sovereign over all. Let us trust him. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, Lord, these are confusing times for us. We are going through so many situations, so many emotions. We are wrestling with so many thoughts, so many circumstances, Lord. They keep coming at us from all directions, and sometimes we struggle to understand what's going on. We desperately, desperately need you, Lord. Desperate for you, Lord. So we cry out to you this evening, Lord, that you will save us. Open our eyes to see your greatness. To see how temporary we are and how eternal you are. To see how weak we are. To see how sovereign and powerful you are. To see our sin and our need for Jesus. And to see your love and your giving of your only Son to save us. Help us to make a commitment to you, Lord. Help us not to be discouraged by what we're going through, but to understand that you have ordained every season in our lives. And you have seen it fit for us to go through what we're going through. Give us confidence to know you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may desire you every minute of our lives. And Lord, help us that we may follow these footsteps of Jesus, trusting you whatever the circumstance. Be with us, Lord, and get glory in our circumstance, in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.